please, man, let me boot it off, bro. Still all tired. I'm all ready.
Thanks, buddy. Don't forget that Philly is on next Saturday night and the next ball is part of this festival.
The 18th. 18th February.
18th February,
yeah.
February.
February.
Hold on, I'm going to start on Preston Donwitz, Dumb Voice, Money Speaks. The agoraphobic in-camera point of his pen, his razor sharp, decapitates with a sad sigh. Beech, ash, oak, leaves no bark or willow to cry at the graying of the land. Cement coats, oblivious to wear. Generations later, someone with maps says, trees were there. I remember when the long ships came through the harbour, tossing out the ballast of Bibles and carved stones, clutching closely the golden caps, clasps. Things changed after that, they always do. But still, this is my city, and like Dido's, all lights will go out eventually from those rising towers, with all towns of Babel accompanying on the hours. The poet's place near the madhouse is enveloped with weeds, and the mad woman still searches for a home, still hungry. Down by the quays, all our needs are stamped by monuments of brutalism, which only feeds the hunger of our governments. Ah yes, this is my city, where gold mounts up in bars and battles without pity. The oligarch, not to speak of tailor's nag, could life be only one blue flag? This time the big ships were invited, only to leave us down and drown in freezing rain. Later, we pleaded with Mr. Brown for 2 shillings from the crown, only to be ground down. In my intricate dreams, I saw flatworms, fruit flies, dead birds flying, strange animals from Africa, playing, of course, after the reservoirs and such. I saw an Spackerman, steak faces, paunches, four-ace dealers, and inside the big white tent, Mr. 1%, dealing out the cards, nitty gritty, in my stolen city. Thanks. Thanks for that, but don't bother chatting now. Clap when I'm finished, in relief. This one is called Fires, and it's about the architecture or lack of it of the city. There's almost nothing in the past 50 years that was built in Cork City, as far as I can see. I can be proud of. Take the Opera House, which was a disaster. And they're talking now about pulling down the tax office. On Southern Sea. There is also another building that was burnt down, Sutton's on the Mall, which was wouldn't have looked out of place in that famous street, no, I can't remember. Beautiful building. Anyway, it's burnt down. And they were faced with probably the first glass house in Cork City. And we've been going on that way since. Stop fires. I missed the Opera House by a head, too young by a foot. It would have been a boast, but the bung was pressed home. And when the coast was cleared, there would again be more fires to douse. Then came Sutton down the Mall. News spread like wildfire, and we hosed down there, witnessed the fall of Victorian grandeur and the inventive rise of new brutalism that fed the eager tyro of craftsmen. The best of the draft horses had thrown their last load aft. There were clean streets then, and nice shiny windows reflecting a new vision. Down the road of glass we went slipping, but ripping fast to the new opulence that no one could see through, until devastating fires blew hard and enveloped the city with a new sense of importance. Now a cold wind blows down the bridges to the quays. Someone will procure the keys to lock the ships out and quench the history of the city. These people, who are these? in the 19th century there was Cork was famous for became famous for a lot of people who left and went to London and making names for themselves, Croft and Croker and Atkins, and became a great body of chickens. There was J.J. Cannon, who was the first Irish poet to give an Irish flavour to English literature. A fellow called William McGinn started a magazine in London called Fraser's, which was the magazine at the time. Another man called Sheridan Knowles was a major playwright at the time, and rival of Tennyson for the fourth Irishman. John Hogan, sculptor, Robert Prout, who became a great buddy of Thackeray. All these people were around at the same time. And there were people who stayed at home, and people like Beamish and Crawford who left their names here, half the buildings and that. Anyway, this is called Little Athens. I was in Athens, and in the old city, they still have the entrance to the old city. You can actually see where the carriages and the horse carts pulled in. The march was still on the ground. And when I was there, I photographed it. And if anybody wants to talk to my post for teaching my good word for it. We were taking photographs of the ground, the very gateway where the wagon wheels left the ruts at the entrance of the city. We put our fingers down on the shiny markings, touching the very stones that pass over idly into the city. And they defended it. That city, how they defended it. Great nations from the east would not overcome it. The Demas and the Agoras saw to that. There was power in the humble Ostraca then. Rulers had a neck to listen. Now it jars. They only listen less. At a time when my city was known as Little Athens, after frustrated men had settled down elsewhere and made a difference. The benevolence of those who stayed was great. Their munificence was humble. Streets were named after them. Their charisma resonates. Who comes to these gates, north or south, to ask, where are your wheel marks? Where are your shining stones? Around the height of the boom, around 4 years ago, there was a fashion came in. It's called minimalism. And I was invited to walk with me one night. And off the event. It was my first night going through the tunnel. Middleton, and we went to this restaurant, and there was four bare walls, utterly bare, concrete floor, and glass tables, ally chairs, and I thought totally alien to whatever culture we're from. The only time I ever saw that type of architecture before was when I spoke to Milan in business and for restaurants and with ally comforters and glass floors and all that kind of stuff. This is called Milan. The Lord Mayor just walked down the street again, stark naked. I intended shouting out, but myself, my job could be lost. Maybe I've seen things, and after all, no one took umbrage. Business carried on. There was nothing for it to ask someone apart why this should be. I spied a butcher sharpening his knife. He's a good man, he said. get his old clothes to the poor. That new suit he is wearing, people say, is all the rage over in Milan. I just finished the autobiography of Leo Mamura, who he's beyond the TV show years ago. And he's from the north side of the city. And he grew up in a tenement in Chandon Street, fourth floor, and his mother was illiterate. And when he got to school, he taught her how to write her first name. Her first name was Mary. And she finally mastered that. She could never write her surname, and she's to sign her name as X before he taught her that. Anyway, my mother was the opposite. She was an educated woman, and she was brokenhearted when I told her I wasn't going to school anymore at the age of 14, for various reasons. Loads of times, we couldn't go home and tell her mother that the ship was beaten out again, that you wanted to get your old brother to beat up the master. He's got old sores. It is easy now, after I let you down, pre-am like you cry like a baby for your baby, no schooling now. I check my heart with steam. Oh, the good times, you teaching me French songs, the blessings. Our experience tidbits, RIC history, Mark Twain, wasn't I your white haired boy? You made those soundings much deeper than your fathoms. The ritual of picking black ass by the meadow, my hands all nettled, your calves and shins bloody from the thorns. And in the deep dark winter, after Sunday communion and Sunday dinner, the blood letting of the tart. A reminder of those old sores. When the call came, you did not really expect it, but your diagnosis flummoxed the consultant, old woman you. We got in the car and you said, "Well, I'm having a fag anyway." Then it was all downhill, only taking 2 weeks for your lungs and poetic mind to save. When the last puff was exhaled, your face became serene. I sensed through second thought. This is called Our Lady of Lourdes, and it's dedicated to my brother Peter, who's down there somewhere. We go to the church together in Ballinock, and there was a still is a grotto there, and there was a screen in front of the grotto. People used to throw in pennies and fucking bits and tanners, and we used to rob them. And Peter would go to the front gate to keep watch to see if there's anybody coming down the street. And I jump over the railing and rob them, and he'd go up and chop them like, you know, and biscuits and cakes and Our Lady of Lourdes. We looked up to her, hoping she could not see as the money, as we fished the money from the stream that she was elevated from. On a normal day, cash might be a threepenny bit or a tanner, but during the mission at Lent, it was bonanza time. Afterwards, we were compelled to go to confession and say that we had robbed Our Lady. The priest, more often than not, only gave us three Hail Marys, probably thinking it was our mother. But it is all water under the grotto now, and the stream is dried up. I think we were the only house in Ballinlock not had a television set. And we used to go next door to Mr. O'Sullivan's. Turned to Sullivan's a bit, so we might. He still is. Mm. He got on to watch Danco, not Danco, Wagner's and Get Smart and all that stuff to start with. The TV started. And one night we were sitting there, probably the first night, and Mrs. O'Sullivan came in with the tray of tea, and she broke her husband, and she said, Vincent, would you like a cup of tea? And he said, Vincent, what's your name? I'd love it. We came from a silent house, her parents didn't speak at all. And they eye-opener for me. They spoke in houses. This is called Silence in the Garden, and the only macchiati is the last line. My mother's baby said she died in bed. My father hid behind the newspaper. His head was always full of meeting words. Patient as an alligator, he knew the language of the world, but his house was dull. No angry words ever heard anywhere. My mother said and saw his face from her chair. The pull of the garden was strong. Her place being where worms worked, an endless shift of breathing life into soil. She spoke to them. They got her drift. Coming out of the drill one day, her spade unearthed a little box dressed in foil. Something worms would not invade. With hardened hands, she flicked across the fold. A thousand words erupted from within, words that gave her heart a jolt. He lowered the news to glance beyond the sills, perhaps reflecting a silence or a sin. He saw her lying one broadsheet between the drills.
Yourself by expecting everything to fall into your lap from their own shelter.
need to crave for you the senses that have never had. Anxiety or want its food only upsets your mum and dad. And when you have kids of your own and your parents hard and close, do not imagine they would frown or that they should make excuse. what it actually cost me, shoe leather, laces, socks, inserted a long lost book. But it was always dominant, thrusting forward without thought, and not even a sideways look at an equally important limb for which the shoe was never bought. Then one morning I slipped and fell, awkwardly sideways and down, and an ankle of that good right leg that brought me everywhere I wanted. Sunshine, gale rays, snow and fog. I moved very slowly after that, sometimes not at all. Nobody came to say, "Here, hang your hat, sit down there on that nice soft seat till somebody collects you from the hall." Suddenly, the left leg awoke and walked, strutted along the bright road. It was dawn, the sun shone, there was heat. Sweat dropped in irrigated ditches. Life was a step, life was a load. The edges of the hard console mats eyeball me like quarter moons, or teardrops on her eye, edged in black and amber, forensics of a time when the hazy nights were there. Sometimes a moon hung outside the window, and a moth lost its way in a circular dizzy dance between the planet and the lampshade. I now hone in, my mother's fingerprints highlighted by the moon. Thank you.